Episode 21 of this series failed to comply to the format of 20 megabytes. This is against the rules of this podcast, and you have to explain yourself or face the consequences.
I don't have anything to say for myself. All I can say is to our listeners, I'm very, very sorry. What happened was, when I checked the file size prior to uploading, it said 20 megabytes, and I thought, oh, that's handy. Is that the right file size? Then I found I couldn't download it via my iPhone, check the preferences on the file, found it to be actually 21 megabytes, and I'm very, 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 very sorry.
If this offence is ever repeated, understand that you will be exterminated!
Oh, shut up. Do the announcement and make the tea.
Services in conjunction with WhoOne.co.uk presents the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
Hello and welcome to what should be a fairly straightforward 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast. I'm Adam.
And I'm Alicia, and I'm eating a muffin.
Fascinating. Now, this should be a fairly different show. One, because my voice is struggling at the moment, because we've all had colds this week.
I have it.
In a minute, I'm going to be starting to sound a little bit like Wendell
from the bit of my muffin.
Omega podcast.
Yeah, but
it's starting to really go. podcast in the world. You can't even not interrupt me doing impressions of other podcasters,
yeah,
can you?
Dad. Yeah, but I haven't had a cold this week. Oh, I'm jinxing now.
You've just wasted 15 seconds talking about rubbish.
Well, carry on, Dad.
Right, this week, what's happened to us this week? I've had a terrible week this week.
I haven't. I've had a quite good week, actually.
Well, I'll show you about my week, and which was terrible. Can't remember most of it. The thing that still sticks out was me dropping the printer on the floor and breaking it, which then cost £105 to replace. The good side of that is I can use that, what's that website called? Where you can send off your old mobile phones and get money from?
MazubaMobile.com.
Yes, we've got a handful of mobiles that I can send off to recoup the money for the new printer I've had to buy today. That also landed on and broke a picture of Isabella. I knocked a picture of Alicia off the wall when I was putting my jacket on to get to work this week, so that was pretty bad.
Where is that picture? Mum wants to know.
I showed her earlier on. If I think of any other things that happened this week, I'll let you know. But as always, when I mean to talk about it, I always forget what I'm talking about. I should have really made a note, but I was driving when I actually thought of it. Oh, that'd be a good thing to mention. I do apologise for the revolting noises, because this child cannot...
I finished my muffin.
Cannot... not make revolting noises. I did a really good impression of Wendell then.
Well, if I do it again then?
No, you can't do impressions twice.
You can.
Well, maybe later.
Well, do you want to hear about my week?
Yes, go on then.
I got told I was going to go to Italy for a dance, dancing for a week. What? 8 hours of professional dancing tuition.
Yes, that was another one of my bad points of the week.
No, it ain't. It's a good point for me.
No, because you don't have to fork out the 700
quid. Bad point of me this week. I've got too much homework.
It's a shame, isn't it?
I know.
Without further ado, let's talk about Doctor Who and get back to that subject later, because I seem to have forgotten most of it. Can't believe about that printer, though. We will talk about Series 4 in a moment. Yeah. But what I was thinking, because I was listening to quite a lot of podcasts this week, and somebody said...
I wasn't listening to a podcast, I was listening to music.
Can you stop moving your leg, because I've got the computer balanced on it.
Yeah, got my
so
leg
I know
hurt.
You, can you just keep still for once
muscles
in your life?
Muscles hurt.
Try and keep still.
Your muscles try to tense up and it's really hurting me.
I'm just controlling myself at the moment.
Good.
No, I did really well not to fly off the handle then.
Why did you say good all next to all of them?
Can you just mute for a moment? Right, I'll tell you what, Alicia.
No, no, okay, I'll shush. I'll promise you, I'll shush now.
You're not. You always promise me a shush.
Don't give me a C1.
It's not a C1, it's a warning.
I don't, Dad, please. I will be quiet, I promise.
Speak when you're spoken to.
Okay.
I didn't ask you any questions. I didn't ask you to make stupid or giggly noises just because a dog fidgeted. And we've got the benefit of not having Isabella around.
But she's ill. In bed.
I'm being pushed. To the very end.
Okay, I'll shift now.
Right, somebody on another podcast, and I tell you, Alicia, I don't care what other people would say. Oh, Alicia makes the podcast. I'll do the podcast without you, because I can never, ever get every single point across that I want to get, because you always interrupt me. Doesn't matter what I'm doing, you interrupt me. It'd be nice if you could just answer questions, or, you know, when I say to you, blah 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 blah, and you give your opinion.
Okay, Dad.
You just interrupt me all the time. You're doing it now.
Dad, let's try that and see how many listeners we lose. It'll be like any other podcast, and we're not like any other podcast.
That's
we're different.
Not the point. I don't care, because I set the podcast out to be cover a specific subject. It's not really meant to be you stopping me from covering that subject. Well, we've already had. Remember the one we had a few weeks ago?
Graham Sheldon back, by the way.
I'm not answering that question. A few weeks ago, that Jeffrey Berman, I think it was.
He's Jeffrey. Him. He didn't like me.
He's still doing it. You can't help yourself, can you? He pointed out to you that it's all very well doing, you know, this backwards and forward, blah, 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 but it's not good at the detriment to the podcast.
Well, whatever, okay.
That's why you are called the Great Podcast Saboteur.
Well, to you, I'm called that. Nobody else.
No, you are. You've been proven to be the greatest podcast ever.
Just shut up.
The proof of the pudding, Alicia, is that we're now 5 minutes or more into a podcast, and I still haven't started on the first subject to do with the subject matter at all.
Okay,
show,
go on then.
Which is
the series four. Just, I'm fine to get on with it, Dad. You're boring.
Why can't you shut up?
Okay, shut up.
Right, we're talking about the DVD stories, all the stories that haven't been released on DVD. That's what was mentioned on other podcasts. And I was interested, somebody said it was about 30 episodes. I know the next one coming out is Seeds of Doom. But, so I went through my collection, which is complete, of course, to try and find out which were the, indeed, were the missing stories. And I thought, well, why are they missing? So we started with the remaining Hartnell stories that haven't been released, which are Planet of Giants, which I put down as being quite good, The Ark, which I also put down as being quite good. Falling asleep will not help the situation.
He told me to be quiet.
Yeah, not shut your eyes and fall asleep.
My leg hurts.
Sensorites, which I don't like at all, and the Gunfighters, which I sort of don't like at all. So that's the Hartnell stories left. There is one Troughton story, still not released on DVD. This is stories, obviously, which are still complete. This doesn't count ones that, obviously, because they were released on the Lost in Time set, as far as the first two Doctors are concerned. Crotons is the only Troughton story that hasn't been released. And then we move to 10 Pertwee stories. We've got, I have to say, I quite like the Crotons. We've got Death to the Daleks, which is okay. Do you not have to look? You're not Tony Gallagher. Do not burp. Give up. We will return to the podcast tomorrow without Alicia here.
Stop it. Okay, I'll stop it. I just need to burp.
You think it's funny? I don't.
I just need to burp. I couldn't burp anywhere else.
Ambassadors of Death, which is really good. Terror of the Autons, good. Demons, good. Day of the Daleks, I've put down as being okay. Which is the first story I actually remember as a child, funny enough. Colony in Space, good. Mutants, good. Mind of Evil, good. Planet of Spiders, well, I've put down as good, it's excellent. And Invasion of the Dinosaurs. That's the full collection of Pertwee. They'll probably be doing a Pertwee box set soon then, because there's so many of his available. Next is Tom Baker, which has only 7 of his million stories, and those are just coming out: The Seeds of Doom, Sunmakers, good, both of those, Face of Evil, good, Nightmare of Eden, well, I think is good, I've heard other people don't, Terror of the Zygons, good, Megloth, which is coming out soon, good, Android Invasion, good, and that completes the 7 Tom Baker stories. Now we have 4 who's next? Peter Davison stories, and those are The Awakening, which is good, Frontiers, which is okay, Snake Dance, which is good, and Kinder, which is good. And finally we have 4 McCoy stories, because the Colin Baker era is complete. That's Dragonfire, which is good, Paradise Stars, which is rubbish, Greatest Show in the Galaxy, which is rubbish, and Happiness Troll, which is okay. So there we go. That rather covers the 30 stories that haven't released yet on DVD. So that sounds like quite a lot to me, but if you consider the ones actually are out, that isn't a lot at all, is it? So before we move on to season 4 of the classic series of Doctor Who, I think it's about time we had a look at the feedback for the week. So I'm just going to load up my page.
Can I talk now?
Only when asked. So, like I say, I've always said we love our listeners. And I thought for a moment, because we got to Saturday and we had no feedback, and I thought, oh dear, was it Saturday today? Or Sunday? Or I got to Friday and we had no feedback.
We've only got one feedback.
You interrupted me again.
Have we got Graham
Can
Sheridan?
Can I please speak?
Have we got Graham Sheridan?
Right, that's your first warning. Okay. We've only got 7 minutes. You can't shut up. Even when you've been tired. Please let me speak. I'll ask you a question. Please.
Yeah, but I'm asking you a question.
Well, when I'm ready, and I'm not talking about a specific subject, I might take the opportunity of answering it, but it's not relevant.
It's funny when you get
You'll
angry.
Find out. It's not.
Yeah, it is. It's just the way you do it. Okay, carry on. I'm going to listen to Jeffrey Burnham.
Oh, will you shut up?
Okay.
First of all, I love our listeners. I thought we weren't going to get any feedback this week, but fortunately, a few people came up trumps right at the end of the week and saved my feedback section. So, you know, more the merrier with the feedback. So, if you think somebody else is going to send some in, so I won't bother. Just send some in. We love reading it out. We had a competition last week, and that was what is Isabella referring to when she says the Doctor or Amy fell down to the ground. I had a couple of entries, one of which was wrong, and the guess was, I can't even remember what the guess was actually. It was wrong anyway. So if you, well, there was 2 entries, so if yours isn't the winning one, you know you were the wrong one. The winner was Steve Stacey, who correctly not guessed, but worked out that she was talking about Hungry Earth. What are you putting your hand up for? It's not a school
lesson. What's the prize?
The prize is in the front room. I'll give you a clue. It's sort of rubbery. You can blow it up.
It's a blow-up TARDIS.
Correct.
Where'd you get that from?
TARDIS. Aha, from one of my suppliers.
What, the Who won?
No.
Alistair Pearson.
Correct.
So why did he give you that?
Because I said I didn't have a prize to send off to Steve. So now I've got the prize, Steve, who hopefully in the next couple of weeks will be receiving it. Feedback this week, Jeffrey Berman. Adam really enjoyed last week's podcast. No surprise, but I think you might have a few anger management issues to work out. I tell you, Jeffrey, I don't have anger management.
Yeah, you do.
No, I don't.
Yeah, you do.
Anybody, any normal person...
I think on the podcast you should have a stressful...
Any normal person who could have to put up with Alicia would blow their top a lot earlier than me. So, no, I think I can keep myself quite calm, actually.
No, you don't.
Shut up.
So you don't.
You have women anger management.
I do not. Yes, you do. I'm not on the podcast, I don't.
That's not the point, though. Anyway, he says, one question and one comment this week. Exactly why do you record the show in Isabella's room?
We don't.
I did actually answer this question personally to him. We don't generally record it in our sitting stroke living room.
Yeah, but the problem
is... Here we go. I'm trying to explain.
No. We were downstairs and Dad moved to Isabella's room. Then then your room, yeah. Then he moved to my room and then to Isabella's room again and back downstairs again.
Yes, because I was trying to get away from your lot while I was trying to actually do the show. You lot were following me around and just talking over everything. So that's why on that particular instance,
we went round the whole house.
I tried Isabella's room. Yes. Didn't work. Sorry, Geoffrey, but thanks for your feedback anyway.
Whoa.
Oh, will you shut up?
That's a lot of feedback.
Yeah, shut up.
It's like copying and pasted.
Shut up. Second warning. Evening, both. Well, I am convinced that you are not really a podcast, but one of two things. One, a reality show. This would explain all the extraneous goings-on as you record, with the ladies of the 20-megabyte house, a podcast house, doing their utmost to cause Adam to have a nervous breakdown. We seem to... Yeah, she's getting the right lines. We seem to be touring the Pearson household now, so I'm writing for Big Doctor Calls Adam to the Diary Room. Two, a radio soap opera. Again, this is the call. This is, I can't read because it's so tight, small. This is because of all the goings on, but also because, as in Archers, there are characters who are referred to have a life and yet never appear. In this case, it is, I assume, Adam's wife and the girl's mother.
Mm-hmm.
She is there, and believe me, very loud when she wants to be, but as soon as you start recording,
she goes away.
She stands and stares and glares if you just run on a little bit longer than she wants you to.
Mm-hmm.
And I can say that because she's asleep at the moment.
Yeah.
I hope she's asleep, otherwise she'll be stomping down the stairs
and telling us off. I'm recording as well.
Mm. A bit like Mr. Pullen, was it Pullen? In the celebrated, shush, I'm doing a quote, in the celebrated everyday tale of farming folk, which is the Archers. Also, there are references to the real world, but in an oblique manner. All this is notwithstanding another entertaining listen. This time, it lasted not just for the walk to the gym, a sweat session, and a walk to the office, but also into going to the home office. I'm a civil servant.
What's that?
Oh, shut up. I didn't know... He means he works for the government. I didn't know about the intention to use the Celestial Toymaker as a regeneration story. That would have been a most interesting. Would it have been done at the end when the doctor ate the sweet? Trouble is... Trouble is, the gunfighters, as the first story, would have been worse than Time in the Rani, if that is possible. I like Time in the Rani. And it is, and gunfighters is worse than Time in the Rani. Where do you get these facts from? Also, the use of Frensham Ponds.
Hmm?
Yeah, I can't remember that one. That's lost me on that. I must have mentioned Frensham Ponds.
You have?
Yeah, I think it was because there was a reference to it in this book, which I have as my reference material, which is called The Pocket Essential Doctor Who by Mark Campbell. Anyway, I have walked around them several times. We live in Surrey, but now we'll be looking at them in a different way. Where can I find relevant stills to take to match up the physical locations?
I'm confused.
Don't worry. By the way, the reference to Cornish dialect sick, to, that's sick in brackets, is a grammatical device. Sick means really or as such, and is used when a clearly incorrect reference, e.g. this misspelling of Dalek, or as the people on the Omega podcast call it, Dalek. It's clearly Dalek. As you listen to a Dalek, he says, Dalek will say, Dalek. Well, the Dalek announcer has made it quite clear how to pronounce the word Dalek.
What, Nick Briggs?
No, our Dalek announcer. The misspelling of Dalek is intended. I mean, they meant to do it, yeah? Ah, the benefits of a public school education. As to the competition... Oh, here we go. As to the competition, I was worried that the prize might be Alicia, spelled A-L-E-A-S-H-A, herself. So, obviously not referring to you. As you try to fob her off for a while, at least to get some peace and quiet. You do get peace and quiet when she goes to bed. or when she's at school.
I like the next bit.
However, the podcast will certainly not be the same without her. Quite a lot shorter, that's blooming right. But I don't deliberately make them long. I want them to be a nice, concise size. Doesn't matter how long they are, it's just as long as you convey the information.
Mm.
Anyway, I'd like you to be in the podcast, Alicia. It's just I'd like you to
Shut
not
up.
Interrupt me so much.
Shut up, I'm trying to listen.
Anyway, is the answer the Tom... This is the one I was referring to. Is the answer to the quiz, the question, Tom of Angels? So that was the other guess.
I don't know.
Oh, here we go.
When did Amy fall down to the ground?
She did fall down in Time of Angels, but Isabella was actually talking about
the Silurian people.
She didn't see Time of Angels, too scary for her, remember?
Oh yeah, she was.
Yeah. Anyway, returning guests with a question mark. It must be Nick Briggs. I thought we'll have a word with Nick then, won't we?
Mm-hmm.
Friend of the show.
Is he?
Yeah, and I didn't get him to record a link anyway, so I'll have to get him back on at some point. I've been enjoying the season 3 reviews. Shut up! Fortunately, my comments out loud are covered by my pursuit of the body beautiful in the gym. Don't tell Dawn. But as I said above, I'm learning. I'm looking forward to the Troughton ones, as I have most of the CD audio releases. Same here. Well worth listening to. I agree, especially Enemy of the World, which is the last one I listened to. Right, the lovely Dawn is summoning me for dinner. Keep up the good work. If you release the next episode on Sunday or Monday, I'll be able to listen as I creak around the recuperating from running 13 miles around Windsor Parks. At the age of 45, should I do this? Well, I certainly don't. I'm 44. But then I've got a great big fat belly. Well, not great big fat, it's fat.
No, it's just belly.
Yeah. Best wishes to all, Andy Nunny, and of course, Dawn. Thanks, Andy. And I hope I managed to actually answer the question. Oh, for God's sake. Yeah?
Have we got Graeme Sheridan back yet?
Anyway. Hi, Adam. As requested, here's the feedback about Nick Briggs' interview. Don't remember asking him for it, but I'm quite glad he sent it back in anyway. Lost me. Nope. Me as in what he said. He says, lost me. Nope, I've just been on holiday. Or as he puts it, that holiday thing. Many people have recommended doing that holiday thing, so I thought I'd give it a try. Went to Sharda. Adam, you hopefully know where that is in reality. All the best for now. Was that A?
A.
Graham, the second Doris Dora, Dr. Sheridan.
Oh, yay! Graham Sheridan's back!
Yes, and this is what the email he actually resent. This is hi Adam and of course Alicia's Rick. This is in relation to episode 17. Just got done with episode 17. All I can say, despite the sound problems, best episode ever. Well done. Quite a natural interview style because Nick comes across quite relaxed. Good questions, and the only stupid question is a question unasked. So when you asked Nick what would he see himself doing when he wasn't doing Big Finish, I thought, well done Adam, because sometimes you get an interesting answer, and by golly you did. Oh, by the way, Alicia, bless you, related for your sneeze attack.
Mm-hmm.
I think I nearly fell over when you mentioned the fan produced Who and produced and gave Professor Howe as an example. Thanks very much. Much appreciated. So don't worry, no complaints. We all have our bad sound days, and it can't really be helped, and especially over Skype. So once again, well done. Keep up the good work. Your pal in podcasting, Graham, the second Doctor, Sheridan. What?
What did I say?
Talking to me?
About the Doctor Howe. Professor
Why are you whispering?
Howe?
The microphone is there.
Yeah, but what did I say?
I said it, not you. I listened to Professor Howe and I said to Nick about it being really good. So as again, that goes to all of our listeners as well. If you want to hear the very clever Graham Sheridan performing lots of different characters in his own penned Doctor Who stories,
good.
Professor Howe is the way to go, and it's
he does a really good David Attenborough impression.
Does he?
He does.
Does he?
He does.
Okay. We didn't get any feedback from Reece Parton this week, but I did listen to his podcast, which is one of our regular feedback contributors. And he's Who Is the Man podcast.
Maybe he's gone on holiday like Graham Sheridan did.
No, he isn't, because I listened to his
show. I was going to ask you a question. Can I ask you a question or not? Fine, carry on.
No, go on then, quickly.
How is this to do the podcast when we're on holiday?
It's called a dongle.
Well, we'll take the computer then. Good, because I want to go on MSN.
I'm cold. I'm really cold. Sorry, carry on.
Yes, Rhys Barton does the Who Is A Man cast. Very, very good podcast from a new podcaster, and very similar to James Wright's Unearthly Child podcast, which is also extremely good, and one that regularly queued up on my iPod. Talking of which, the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance, I have listened to quite a few podcasts, but I don't listen to every single one. Now, since our show last went out, we've had The Happiness Patrol, which is absolutely superb, but you can't listen to it because of the swearing. We've had one that I don't listen to called the RAT Project.
93.
Mm-hmm. We've got the Tin Dog, which I tend to wait until about 10 of them have been released before I listen to them all in a lump sum. We've had the Dirty Hooers podcast episode 19. Don't know what that's all about.
Happiness.
No, it's not a podcast. That's just a report on that. TARDIS, TARDIS,
Tattoo.
Doctors.
10 Doctors.
Oh, it's
a T.
Episode 76, the DWDRT monthly for September review of Mark of the Rani.
You listened to that? Okay.
No, I haven't listened to that. But listen to the Bat of Wilf podcast, which is really, really good. And the commentary of The Girl in the Fireplace from the Occultum Collective. And then after that was Cloister Room. I haven't listened to that one yet. The Who Was O2O.
Have you listened to that one?
Not yet. I do intend to listen to as many as possible, but I can't listen to every single one. Doctor Who Podcast episode 43, which was really, really good with who does that show? I've forgotten.
Idiot.
Trevor and Tom, that's the one. 2 Minute Time Lord, again, I'll queue those up and listen to them in a lump sum. Divac Vlog. Divac Talks Sci-Fi and Stuff. We've got the US Who cast. There's lots of them, isn't there? The Earth Station 1 podcast, episode 26. I saw what they made last summer. I've just jumped past it. Radio Rassilon, which I've got ready to play on my iPod. I haven't listened to it yet. We've got Tim's Take On, which is Tim Drury, episode 36. I haven't listened to that one yet either. Of course, we've got the friends of the show, Eric Cascabala, and his podcast, Mostly Harmless Cutaway. I haven't listened to that one for a while. I don't know why. I don't know if it's because they were doing commentaries, and I tend to stay clear of the commentary ones.
Silly Christmas.
Shut up. Charlie Stavin, I listened to that one today.
Is brilliant. That the people that like us?
As brilliant as ever.
Is that the people that like us? Yay, I like them.
Yeah, we don't listen to the show because of the swearing. I have toned it down a bit, actually, I have to say.
Yeah, because I told you to.
Shut up. Thumbcast Extra, give people good endings. I haven't got a picture there for some reason, but and I haven't heard of that one before. Who Is A Man cast, as I mentioned before, by Rhys Barton. Omega Podcast, sorry, the Omega Podcast with...
Omega.
With Wes and Wendell. And Wendell can say what? Wendell's the most laid back podcaster in the whole of the planet. And he falls asleep by delivering his podcast.
I hate people who do that.
No, he's great. I love Wendell.
Oh, Omega.
Omega Podcast.
Omega.
And you want to listen about the Omega Podcast because I enjoyed their show so much this week. They got podcast of the week. That's great. So, yeah, Wendell.
Radio Free Scarrow.
Yep. And that's what else we got?
Oh, can I say it?
Staggering Stories.
Oh!
And the Who
News. Oh my god, can I say it? God.
So you're not, though. I just left it there for you to say.
Right. Oh, no, I'll say this one. Flashing Blade podcast.
Yes, which I'm looking forward to listening to.
I like Flashing Blade.
Tomorrow. So there we go. That's all the podcasts that have been released since we released our last show. And it's now recording this on Sunday evening. Pardon?
I'm just singing to myself.
Right. Somebody's lost my place in my little... Shush. My little book. Right, we're talking season 4.
What? I'm really tired.
And I have to get up at 5:45 tomorrow.
The likelihood of you remembering any of these episodes is extremely slim.
I know. Can I sit over here? Can I leave my head over here?
Well, how am I supposed to pick you up on the microphone if you do that?
That's what I mean. Can you still hear me?
No.
Can't you? I'll put it on there then. There we go.
I can't hold it.
Well, I can. Look, see, it balances.
It doesn't, though. I'm holding it. Can you hold it? Just don't move, because that's going to fall off.
But there you go.
Can be quiet.
Okay.
Season 4 began with the smugglers.
I think I remember that story.
How do you? It doesn't exist in the archives.
But you've talked about it before.
Yes, so Dr. Ben and Polly end up in some caves in Cornwall and get embroiled in...
you've talked about that one.
Yes, in 17th century shenanigans and get involved in piracy and all that stuff. Not a lot of the Doctor in this story because he was really struggling. It's, for me... I think it might have been better to actually be able to watch the story while.
Has William Hartmore regenerated yet?
Hartmore. Who is this William Hartmore?
Hartmore, whatever his name
Hartnull.
Has he regenerated yet?
Well, if you let me carry on, you'd find out, wouldn't you? Because I just said he's struggling, so he wouldn't have regenerated if he's still in there.
Oh, I knew that.
Yes, he's struggling, so he's not in it very much. Mark Campbell, the author of this book, says in his observations, a week's location filming in Cornwall. It's unusual to actually do the location filming in the place that's meant to be in. Usually they double up and use somewhere else.
But that's no, that's in modern day.
No, they used to do it. Wait, you stop fidgeting.
My hip hurts.
That falls off.
Can you just lift it up for a sec?
Incur my wrath.
Well, is it going to be even worse than... Mum's wrath.
Stop poking the computer. Can you just keep still?
I'll try.
And it's the most extensive yet for the programme. And it took in Nangiselle Bay, never heard of it, Church Cove, the Bossisto Cliffs, and a fishing boat Bonnie Mary stood in for the piratical Black Albatross. And the story saw the first use of the stunt team Havoc. That's interesting, wasn't it? He gave it a 8 out of 10 as a swash. It was 2-4 parts, I suppose it's just as well. I didn't really enjoy it that much as an audio adventure. I've seen pictures from it, it looks quite good. So I think it would have been nice to actually be able to see some daddy snaps from this one. Go on then, do I know what?
Oh. I remember this story. It's in my head.
How can you possibly remember it? You didn't.
I remember a story of Doctor Who. It's stuck in my head.
Yeah, but you haven't listened.
No, and I don't know which one it is.
So it's not going to be any of the audio ones.
No, I know. No, it's a story of Doctor Who. It's in my head.
Which one?
It's one with the Master. And there's a fort in the water.
Yeah, all right, but what's that got to do with season 4?
I don't know.
So can you be quiet?
It's in my head, though.
I don't care. Can you
be
quiet?
I'm thinking about it.
Be quiet. So, yes, that's all I can really say about the smugglers. The next episode or story was called The Tenth Planet.
Are we all still on the smugglers just then? Oh, The Tenth Planet, you talk about that one as well.
Yeah, I do, yes. Now, the only thing for me about The Tenth Planet is apparently Biddy Baxter...
Who's that?
...the producer of Blue Peter in the 70s...
Oh.
...is to blame for the fact that Episode 4 no longer exists.
Why? Why is he blaming?
Because when the fourth Doctor was going to regenerate into the fifth Doctor...
Yeah.
...they thought they'd do a little medley of clips of Doctors regenerating and borrowed the regeneration clip from Tenth Planet, an episode that had that clip on it. Played it, lost it, and the rest is history. That's why we do not have a complete Tenth Planet. Yes?
Why?
Why what?
Does.
Oh, God.
Well, I forgot what I was going to say. Oh, yeah, why is half of the things, half the stories, don't exist anymore?
Because the BBC decided that they wanted to use their. Storage space for archiving television programmes in a more productive way. So they burned lots of TV episodes of various different stories from the 1960s and early 1970s.
What's the point? That's just ridiculous.
That's what they did, and included most of the Hartnell era.
That's gay.
10th planet. Dr. Ben and Polly arrive in the South Pole and struggle into some sort of international sort of camp that's there, which quickly gets invaded by aliens who happen to be Cybermen.
Oh yeah, I think I remember that one now.
The Doctor falls down to the ground fairly early in episode one, and Ben and Polly then have to carry the story for most of the actual episode. It's nice that we've actually got episode 1, 2, and 3. I've got a video version of this, which has got a reconstructed version of episode 4, which really does help to make it watchable, and it's a really good reconstruction, but they have no plans of bringing this one out on DVD. Why are you shutting your eyes?
Oh my god, I am as well. Help me. Oh my god.
How am I supposed to conduct a podcast if you're asleep? And, I mean, I don't mind you being quiet, but being asleep really does take it to other extremes.
Can I just close my eyes? If you hear me snoring, you know what's happened. And wake me up, okay?
I would have finished the podcast by now if you didn't keep interrupting me anyway. Yes, as I was saying, the 10th planet. Yes, it's... lots of shouting by various members of the cast seem to spring to mind. The Cybermen, as I've said in previous episodes, talk a little bit like William Shatner. And, interesting, because I think this episode came out before Star Trek came out. So, I think Shatner might have this watched it and thought, I want to talk like those Cybermen. It was broadcast between the 8th and 29th of October 1966. And, yes, the Cybermen, their planet, which I think is Mondas, it's a twin planet of Earth, and it's heading on collision course with Earth, for some reason. yes, the Cybermen, I think, want to take over Earth, because all the resources on Mondas have gone. And, basically, the Doctor ends up on the Cybermen ship. He's just becoming weaker and weaker, and I think he's getting weaker and weaker because his life force was drained in the savages, and he comes up with those immortal words, this old body's wearing a bit thin, and he manages to stagger across the snow into the TARDIS. He shuts the doors initially behind, but Ben and Polly bang on the doors, and his last sort of bit of energy allows him to switch the switch, let them in. He then collapses on the floor, and his face all goes all blurry, and he becomes
Patrick Troughton.
And it's still very exciting to watch that clip, which actually does exist. And I must admit, if I'd been there at the time, I really wouldn't be able to wait the next 7 days, even though I would have had to see what happened next. And what happened next was the power of the Daleks. I quite enjoy the audio of this one. This is that one which the Daleks, the Doctor witnesses a murder of some examiner and gets sort of mistaken for the examiner, and they go into this camp where some of these discovered a spaceship with some dormant Daleks on it, and the Doctor's trying to persuade them not to bring the Daleks back to life. And of course they ignore him, and they do, they take the guns off the Daleks, and the Daleks say, "We are your servants," and the bloke believes that they're just going to help him, but whilst they're going around being their servants, they're actually regenerating all the Daleks and making lots of millions of new ones. And yes, that's basically the 6-part story is that. And yes, it says the Daleks, his book says the Daleks infiltrate the Earth Connolly, I said, not Billy Connolly, on the planet Vulcan. So another thing that came before Star Trek come up with the idea of Vulcan. Anyway, it was in the 21st century. And this was the first Dalek story not to be written by Terry Nation. The Doctor's clothes changed with his new body, so his clothes regenerated as well, as with his boots, obviously, in Castrovalva. And the transformation is described as a renewal, which means maybe he hasn't regenerated, I've heard in certain fan quarters. It's a classic, I think, Power of the Daleks, and I've listened to the audio of this one twice, and I have to say it's really, really good, and I think it probably warrants a bit more than the 7 out of 10 that Mark Campbell gives it. And if you like Big Finish, so I'd recommend listening to the audio of this one if you haven't already, because it's a really, really, it does really transfer itself well to audio. Next story was The Highlanders, which introduced a character called Jamie McCrimmon. And basically, Jamie's not really in this story very much. He's a sort of sideline character as a piper. And suddenly at the end of the story, he joins the TARDIS crew, but he doesn't really feature much in it. The Doctor pretends to be somebody else, as he does somebody with a funny accent. And Polly shows signs of strength, where she tries to stop Hannah Gordon from being a wimpy girl. Hannah Gordon playing the character of Kirsty. I find this story particularly boring, to be honest with you. I didn't enjoy it. It's just a shame, because it's the last of the sort of historical stories that Doctor Who used to do. But in contrast, Mark Campbell gives it 8 out of 10, 5 out of 10 for me. So Jamie's joined the crew, and because he wasn't originally intended to be part of the cast, he doesn't get a lot of lines in the next story, The Underwater Menace. One episode of this story does exist, and it stands out because of the performance of the actor who played Professor Zaroff, who plays him like a real proper pantomime villain. "Nothing in the world can stop me now," he pipes up, which is a memorable line from Doctor Who. But unfortunately, the only real memorable thing from this story. But nevertheless, the makeup was pretty good for the fish people and that. And Polly did some pretty good screaming in it. But Mark gives it a 7 out of 10 for some reason. But there you go. Excuse me, I'm just going to have to cough for a second. There you go. Yes.
I'm freezing.
Oh, that's a shame, isn't it?
I know.
Next story was the moon base. Now, the moon base obviously was set on the moon. People are getting ill, including Jamie, because obviously, again, he hadn't been written into this story, so they had to knock him out pretty quick, so he spends most of it lying on a bed in some, like, sick bay thing, and occasionally rising up and saying something about the Phantom Piper, which it turns out to be Cybermen. Again, it's good that they call it the moon base, and it doesn't have a hint of the fact there's Cybermen in it, like the 10th Planet had no hint of the fact there are Cybermen in it. Various nationalities within this environment, and they've all got like white suits with their flags on their chest, and they're all very stereotypical of those nations, which I don't think, if they did it now, I don't think they'd get away with it. Like the Frenchman had a beret and stuff like that. Now, I think the actual Frenchman was genuinely French, though, as we said. But it's a four-parter, and it's quite funny to see the Cybermen floating off into space in the final episode, and all slapping each other on the back. And in this one, it's actually Polly that discovers that they're all being sort of poisoned by the sugar. So, yeah, it's not too bad, actually. He gives it 6 out of 10. I'd probably say 7. Not too bad. And the next story was called The Macro Terror. There's nothing of this left, apart from an audio and a couple of clips. And the audio didn't grab me. I seem to remember Ben getting taken over by something and turning against the Doctor. His gist about it, as Mark's gist, says, "Huge crab-like macra have infiltrated a human colony run like a holiday camp." So it's basically it. That covers it really well. But he gives it 8 out of 10. Again, I think it's another story which would have that doesn't transfer to audio so well, because obviously you've got the visuals of the macra, which we don't get to see until Gridlock, of course. Next one is called The Faceless Ones. Again, it's a great pity that most of this story is missing, because you miss a lot of the gorgeous Wanda Vintham and the brilliant Pauline Collins. And also, Ben and Polly sort of disappear in a very similar way to Dodo did in earlier stories, namely The War Machines. I think they're there for the first couple of episodes, then get taken over by the aliens who are nicking all the young people for a reason that escapes me. Let's see what he says. He says, hideous alien chameleons lure youngsters to their orbiting satellite in order to possess them. Basically, yeah. But Ben and Polly do make a reappearance in the final episode just to say goodbye, because they just happen to have landed in London in 1966, the day before, apparently, they actually went away with the Doctor and the TARDIS. And that leaves the Doctor and Jamie behind. But somebody's gone off with their TARDIS at the end of the story. But a good thing about this thing, this is set in London, Heathrow Airport, and the airplane being turned into a spaceship was quite clever. You can imagine it quite well from the audio parts that I've listened to. 8 out of 10, yeah, I'd say it's pretty good. 8 out of 10. Even though Mark Campbell says it's a preposterous plot, notwithstanding. And the comedians were frighteningly soulless. It was quite scary. I seem to remember a shot of a body with no face, hence the faceless ones, and it was quite spooky and creepy to see a body just with a completely blank face. Well, I think that has been used since in the one, not sure what it was called, The Wire, was it? The Idiot's Lantern, I think, used that same technique of being scary. And we're completely benefiting now from Alicia being asleep, because I can now bring you the final episode of season 4 called The Evil of the Daleks. Now, we don't really need Alicia's input on these ones, because she hasn't listened to them and she can't possibly have seen them. Evil of the Daleks. One episode exists, and I think that is episode 1, actually. No, it's episode 2. Yes, the Doctor and Jamie lose the TARDIS. They go in search of it. Episode 2 is when they meet up with some dodgy bloke in a antique shop, where they find lots of things that are supposed to be Victorian antiques, which are all brand new, which raises the Doctor's suspicions. And eventually the Doctor and Jamie are kidnapped by the Daleks, taken back to, well, actually by Waterfield, actually, back to the 19th century. And the Doctor is then sort of asked by the Daleks to say why he keeps defeating them, or why the humans keep defeating them, and that it's the human factor. So they ask him to give Daleks the human factor, and what they end up with is childlike Daleks, who are very funny. And that part of the story I really enjoy, when the Daleks are being childish and the Doctor's having great fun playing with them, basically. The Daleks are keeping Waterfield's daughter Victoria captive to keep him working for them, and Jamie and great oaf of a bloke end up finding her, helping her to escape, and they end up, I think they end up going back to Skara, as it's saying the gist. The Doctor and Jamie are taken to Victorian England, where the Daleks are experimenting with the human factor in a bid to turn them into super beings. With the new companion Victoria, they're taken to Skaro. I thought it was Skaro, where their real mission proves to be to spread the Dalek factor to humankind. Very clever. But they're caught in the middle of the Dalek civil war. I think the Doctor then does something that causes the Daleks to get ultimately destroyed, and this was intended to be the proper end to the Daleks, because they just didn't want to keep bringing them back, and I think they had problems with the Terry Nation sort of ownership of the Dalek thing anyway, Dalek brand anyway. And his observations are: Grimm's Dyke House, Harrow Weald, Middlesex, was the location of Max Deville's Victorian abode.
and says, despite its long reputation, this is a deeply sweet-eyed, hinging on several improbable and inconvincing concepts. Shallow Victorian clichés abound. There are several episodes with of padding, I probably agree with that, and it really only gets going too late in the day when the action shifts to Scarrow in the last two episodes. He gives it 4 out of 10, but I have to say I think 7 out of 10 would be a fairer figure. I did like Jamie's interaction with the character Toby, who was the oaf bloke who initially he had a fight with, beat him, and then earned Toby's respect. And there we go, that concludes season 5. She's asleep. Sorry, Alicia fans, she's fallen asleep. So it's now the morning after the night before, and I am actually in Alicia's room. Anyway, to do the news, not so Alicia can actually contribute to the news, but so she can actually hear it herself, because she never listens to this show. So otherwise she'll never find out what the news is. Doctor Who news this week. Doctor Who Live has launched an official Twitter account, so you can look for that on Twitter. I won't be, because I feel a bit jealous because I can't go. I'm a bit out of breath because I ran up the stairs and I'm going to have to cough again. Right, the Doctor Who Adventure Games have been recommissioned for the next series. It'd be nice to have actually had a chance to play the current ones. Series 1 of the Adventure Games has been a great success, obviously, with over 1.6 million downloads. And three parts of the four-part story have so far been released, with the final part due out later this year. So that's another one for the game fans. But maybe my next computer will have a facility on it for playing games like that.
What money, Dad?
that's your catchphrase. Mm. And Doctor Who wins Best TV Programme at the British Fantasy Awards. And it was up against Battlestar Galactica, Being Human, Lost, and Torchwood, Children of Earth, which, yeah, that was a brilliant series, wasn't it? So it was quite a good thing to win that award. Rob Shearman, writer of Doctor Who Story Dalek, accepted the award on behalf of former showrunner Russell T. Davis. The National Television Awards nominations are now open. So if you want to go and vote for Doctor Who, that would be very good. Just Google the National Television Awards and submit your votes. I think you have to vote for every category, so if there's categories not interested, just vote for anything, but get your votes in for Doctor Who. We've got trouble is Karen Gillan and Matt Smith are both in the same category for Best Actor, obviously, so just vote for Doctor Who. Let's get some awards for our show and keep it on the telly. So filming wraps for episode 4 of the next series of Doctor Who, but September has seen Doctor Who production crew busy filming the Mark Gatiss penned storyline for the 4th episode of the next year's show. Alicia is doing her makeup and her hair at the moment, by the way, if you hear sort of things going off in the background, mobile phones and stuff. Principal photography has now completed for the first episode to be recorded, undertaken over the last 16 days at three.
Dad,
yes?
Can you give me a lift of shampoos?
I'll consider it if you... let me get on with this.
My hair won't go up.
That's not my fault.
Is it damp outside?
Yeah, a little bit dewy.
Dewy?
Yes, well, there was dew all over the car when I...
What's that?
Moisture. Anyway, 16 days of main three locations, the bulk of which has been outside of Wales. That's quite interesting. No sheep in that one, then. Week commencing 6th of April saw the crew filming at a private location, Pembroke House, in Pontcanna, Cardiff. And it was followed a week later with filming in the more public National Trust property, Durham Park. And finally, last weekend, moved to the very public Waring House Estate in Bristol, where many fans and professional photographers were in attendance. Lucky so-and-sos. They have actually got some pictures. I think Who Spy have done them. So if you actually go to the Gallifrey News Base blogspot, .blogspot.com site, they've got some spoiler pictures that you don't have to see unless you click on the reveal button. Do you want to see?
Mm-hmm.
So we'll click on the first one. I won't say what it is, unless it's something that doesn't really spoil anything. It's, well, it doesn't actually spoil anything then, does it? What is it? It's a picture of a light. Oh no, some other pictures of some props and things. Oh, there's a picture of Matt Smith standing by a, what is that thing? A police bollard. Let's have a look at that picture.
It's Matt Smith
in his normal
and holding costume, a script.
Holding a script. So yes, that really doesn't spoil anything because there's none of the actual proper scenery in the actual episode. So, yeah.
Anything else, Dad? Is
there any other news? There is other news. I can't get the computer to go back to the previous page. It's being a silly. So, what's hot on eBay?
Well, as you're safe.
Number one is still the £5,000 unbidded for Doctor Who rare unique collections of videos and more. Still got 21 days to go on that. No bids. What a surprise.
No one
further down the list, a quite interesting feature is a Doctor Who hardback target novel of Genesis of the Daleks, near mint, and that's £2,750.
Who would buy that?
Somebody who's very keen on collector's item Doctor Who books. They've got further down the list is the one that has got any bid, no, most expensive thing with bids against it, and that is full size Dalek lookalike. Not very good. It's a bit, looks like it's lost too much weight, judging by that picture. But people have bid against it at £510 with six
days
left.
That's quite cheap for a Dalek.
No, it's quite well. It would be, is it? It's not quite in proportion. Not looking at those Cybermen then on the picture reminds me that Forbidden Planet have released a or are releasing a exclusive Attack of the Cybermen stealth drone thing and Colin Baker, so I won't be buying that. Not paying out 25p for a figure I've already got twice.
You've already got two of them.
Colin Baker, yeah. Mm. Three in fact if you could include the one in Peter Davison's costume. Anyway, second in the
you like Colin Baker.
I do like Colin Baker. Second in the charts for things with bids against them is the full life-size Dalek working arms lights fully mobile, and that's £361. That's 12 bids against that. So it seems that people are quite willing to shell out hundreds of pounds for Daleks.
Yeah, because they're very interesting.
So the Dalek announcer would be delighted to hear that. He might think we might be able to sell him.
Imagine selling Nick Briggs on eBay.
I could threaten him with that if you misbehaves. I could actually threaten to
sell him on eBay.
Oh, look at this. This hasn't got any bids against it, but somebody seems to think they can get £200 for a set of seven Doctor Who figures. £200. Let's see what the figures are first. Before I'm a bit curious why this person thinks they can get that much money.
Have you bought anything Doctor Who this week, Dad?
No, I don't think so.
I'll have to get going in a minute. The bag's not even better.
Stop interrupting me again. What we got then, this thing, it says, for all your classic Doctor Who fans here, a perfect lot for you. For £200, you can have the first Doctor, William Hartnell, with Black Dalek from Dalek Invasion of Earth. The second Doctor, Patrick Troughton, with original style Cybermen from Tube of the Cybermen. Mm-hmm. Third Doctor, John Pertwee, with Sea Devil from the Sea Devils. Fourth Doctor, Tom Baker, with Sonic Screwdriver and Changeable Head. Fifth Doctor, Peter Davison, with Sonic Screwdriver. Sixth Doctor, Colin Baker, a regeneration figure from Caves of Androzani. I've got that one. Seventh Doctor, Sylvester McCoy, with White Dalek from Remembrance of the Daleks. Not worth £200. I mean, the fact is you can buy all 11 Doctors for £50 when they get a new stocking. It seems to think that I don't think that will actually ever get any.
Yeah, you might as well just get the 11 Doctors for £50 if you're really that keen.
Yeah, I mean, I've got most of those actually, but I certainly didn't expect to get that much money for them.
So yeah, but if you sold your whole collection. The whole collection. Look, Dad, look what's over there.
Some broken Daleks.
Yeah.
And are not broken, but should really take the Daleks batteries out of K9.
Where are you going?
So I'm going back downstairs now. So, because we've done the...
No, stay up here and finish the podcast, because I'm not even ready for school yet.
Yeah, but I've...
Hang on.
The trouble is... I can't do the rest of the news because the news page won't open up here, so I'm going to have to go down.
Does it really matter?
It does, because I'm sure there was something quite interesting.
Was that interesting or you remembered it?
I'm sure there's something really interesting on it.
Well, if it was that interesting, you would have remembered it. I'm going to have to go around Shannon's this morning.
So, technical problems solved. We can go back to the news, if I can get the blooming page up.
Again.
Oh, this computer's being naughty today. No, right.
Just you.
The Ark is coming to DVD. It's the last, one of the last Hartnell stories not to, as I mentioned earlier in the episode, not to have been released yet. Obviously, Seeds of Doom comes out on the 25th of October, one of my favourite stories. And the computer's being extremely naughty again by jumping up and down. I tell you, these Dell computers are very good, apart from the mouse facility on them. So.
Oh, yeah, I sometimes get that. Gets on my nerves.
Yes, naughty, isn't it? There's been a passing. Film and television composer Jeffrey Burgin has died at the age of 69, and he composed the music for Terror of the Zygons and Seeds of Doom. Like I said, Seeds of Doom itself is coming out. Colin Baker will be signing copies of his new audiobook, Kangazang, The Forbidden Planet, on the 25th of September.
What, in Southampton?
Oh, that was 2 days ago. Sorry about that.
In Southampton?
Yeah, no. The Ark, as I say, coming to DVD in March, apparently. Series 1 for 99p.
Oh,
apparently, video on demand service Seesaw is giving fans a chance to vote to see the entire Series 1 of Doctor Who for just 99p. It's pretty good value, really. Hopefully, if iTunes actually jump on that bandwagon, I might just download that for 99p. If it was 99p, of course. Doctor Who magazine 426 is out. Saran Jones has been cast in the role of Idris, or if it is, in the third episode of the 2011 series of Doctor Who. She played the Mona Lisa in Sarah Jane Adventures. Do you remember that? That weird one where the Mona Lisa came back to life, or came to life.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she played that, but she's going to play a different character in Doctor Who. And on the subject of Sarah Jane, this is the big news I was waiting and hoping to read
out.
11th of October. Well, don't interrupt when I'm doing the main bit of news. 11th of October, Monday. It's the launch date for the new series of Sarah Jane Adventures.
Less than 2 weeks.
Yes. The series will be shown twice each week, with episodes first being shown on CBBC on Mondays and Tuesdays before being repeated on BBC One on Thursdays and Fridays. So at least if I miss it, I'll get a second chance to record it. And the titles, here we go. Sarah Jane Adventures, Series 4. First story is Nightmare Man by Joseph Lidster. Second story is The Vault of Secrets by Phil Ford. And then it's Death of the Doctor by Russell T. Davis. And then Empty Planet by Gareth Roberts. Lost in Time, which is the name of one of the Doctor Who box sets, by the way, by Rupert Late. And Goodbye, Sarah Jane Smith by Gareth Roberts and Clayton Hickman. I have actually mentioned all these titles. Hopefully not. I've actually mentioned all these titles on a previous episode of the show. So
no, I haven't mentioned all of them. You only mentioned 6.
Have I?
Yeah.
Okay. So, I'll just have to refer to my notes. And with that, Alicia was gone. Some people may think that was a good thing, but of course, with her here, she can't say her usual goodbye, so I'll have to say goodbye on her behalf. Right, let's move on to whoone.co.uk, who have latest products listed on their website, the latest being the DWM 426, which obviously it's a format in which you can actually get the magazine delivered to you. Interviews with Nicholas Briggs, friend of the show. And, of course, Toby Haynes and Richard Franklin as well. We have the Desktop Patrol Dalek, priced at $14.99 with £2 postage, Cyberman cufflinks, and the Spinning TARDIS. I want one! So there we go. That's whoone.co.uk. We have our all-important feedback addresses. Now, I was getting very worried last week that we were not going to get any feedback, so thank you so much for the people that did save the show, because feedback is so important to us, so please send it in, whether it be audio or email. We love hearing from you, and it does sort of give us the inspiration to carry on and do a weekly show, so it's really important to know what you want to say. Draculosaurus actually sent something through on the website which said another great show. It's still feedback, and
We just want to hear everything. So, those addresses are 20megfeedback@hotmail.co.uk. That's the word 20, the word meg, the word feedback at hotmail.co.uk. You can do what Draculasaurus did, is leave a comment on the website, the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast.podbean.com. That's THE, number 20, MB, Doctor Who podcast.podbean.com. The Facebook group, of course, which is the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast, still has 50 members. Thank you, you 50 members, for being part of our group, but it'd be nice if we could start increasing the numbers again. But you can leave feedback via the group, or you can add the 20 megabyte Doctor Who, or 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast as a friend. If you search on Facebook, both the group will come up and the actual friend will come up. So you can send me a message via that. iTunes has a facility where you can comment on the show. We've had two for ages. Thank you for the two people that commented. It'd be great to have some more. So if you want to leave some comments via the iTunes feed, that'd be lovely. We also appear on Podcast Alley, although I never really check our thing on there. So you can follow us on Twitter as well, and that's Adam20MB Podcast. That's twitter.com Adam20MB Podcast. And of course we occasionally post things on the DWO forums, that's Doctor Who Online website, and of course on the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance forums. And I have to say, I really advise you, if you want to, if you're really interested, sorry, in Doctor Who podcasts, go to the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance website, because it is bang up to date with the latest Doctor Who podcasts that obviously are listed. There's 50 odd podcasts listed, and I'm always listening to Doctor Who podcasts, so I'm always checking it to see if something new's out that I haven't heard yet. So there's also a forum on there. So I think we've more or less covered everything on the episode today, and hopefully I've managed to keep it down to the specified 20 megabytes this time. Thank you very, very much for listening to our show. Thank you. See you again next time. Bye-bye.
Doctor Who is a trademark of the BBC. No copyright infringement intended.